that you are waiting in a swimming pool. And as you're waiting in a swimming pool, a friend of yours comes up behind you and dunks you under the water. Now, you have several options at this point, all right? One option is a good Christian option. That is just simply forgive your friend and move on about your day. The option that I usually have is I turn around and I dunk my friend just as quickly as he dunked me. Or another option that I guess you could have is you could wait a little while whenever your friend is drying off and gets a little bit close to the pool. You just kind of push them in real quick, right? There's all different types of options that go on with that type of scenario. Now, I want you to imagine for just a moment that instead of your friend dunking you, he dunks you, but he says these words. He says, "Now you have been baptized." Well, even if you know a little bit about baptism, I think you would agree with me this morning that you really haven't been baptized. Because here's the thing, if that happens, then you have not done that very willingly, have you? You've not willingly and knowingly said, "I want to be baptized." No, your friend just came up and dunked you. That's what happened. And so there's a big difference there. And this morning, as we celebrate Baptism Sunday, and as we've already witnessed these young people who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism, I want us to take some time today to just really look at the Scriptures and see what God's Word says about baptism. And so Acts chapter 2 is a great place for us to look at today. Acts chapter 2, if you have a copy of God's Word, let me ask that you stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37. The Bible says, "Now when they heard this," and what did they hear? They heard the gospel message. Peter preached the gospel. "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' And so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of the baptism service this morning of these four young people, God, who have made a decision, God, to follow after Jesus. God, thank you for others who will make that decision this morning. God, we rejoice and look forward to what you're going to do as we think about what baptism is and the significance that it plays in our lives. Father, we just pray that you would have freedom to work in this place. This morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us. And God, we just look forward to all that you're going to do during this time together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want us to take just a few moments this morning to think about what is baptism and understand the importance of baptism. And this passage of Scripture is a great place to go. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible, Acts chapter 2. Peter comes and preaches this wonderful sermon. It's called the Sermon at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes, and God just does a work in the early church. And there's much that we can learn from this chapter of the Bible. And I want you to learn four things this morning about baptism. Number one, I want you to see that baptism is a response to the gospel. Baptism is a response to the gospel. If you go back and look at chapter 2 and verse 37, I mentioned it just a moment ago, they heard this. The people that had gathered there at that place heard the gospel message. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, preached the very first sermon. And he preached that sermon, and in that sermon, he explains several things. One of the things that he explains is the death of Jesus. I think every gospel message has to include the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Look at chapter 2, verse 22. Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man testified to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Peter says, Jesus came into this world and he lived a perfect and a sinless life. By the plan of God, God allowed him to go to the cross for our sins. Jesus died on the cross, friends, for your sins. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. There is no one who is righteous, no, not one. Every single person who has ever walked the face of the earth is a sinner and has sin in their hearts. And the only way that we can be forgiven of our sins is if there is a perfect substitute for our sins, and that person is Jesus. And Peter tells the crowd that's gathered there about who Jesus is. And then he goes on, and not only does he talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, but he also talks about the resurrection of Jesus. Look at verse 24. God raised him up. Amen. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make full of gladness with your presence." Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. Verse 32 says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of all we are witnesses of that." God raised Jesus from the dead. And because Jesus died on the cross, because he rose from the dead, there is the opportunity for you to receive forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. After hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, the people said, "What must we do? What must we do?" And Peter looks at them and says, "Repent." The word repent simply means to go in a different direction. It means that we are headed towards sin, and we repent and we turn in a different direction and we head in a different way. We head towards God. And repentance, listen, repentance always leads to the forgiveness of our sins. If there is no repentance, there cannot be forgiveness of sins. Peter says, "You must repent." And then he says, "And be baptized, every one of you." Once a person has asked Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, once they have asked Jesus Christ to come into their lives, the very first act of obedience should be baptism. Another passage of Scripture that I'm sure you all know very well, if you've been a part of our church for any length of time, is Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. Listen to what Jesus said as he has risen from the dead. He's talking to his disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Let me just pause right there. How does a person make disciples of all nations? And the answer to that is he proclaims the gospel. All right, that's the first step, isn't it? It was Peter's first step. You proclaim the gospel first. And Jesus says, go make disciples. That the first step in making disciples is proclaiming the gospel. But the second step in that process, notice what he says, go therefore make disciples of all nations and then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the second part. That's the second step, if you will, that Jesus gives to his disciples. You proclaim the gospel. People become disciples. Second of all, they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then third of all, you are to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So Jesus says, this is how you make disciples. Proclaim the gospel. Baptize those who respond to the gospel, and then teach them all things that I have commanded you. If you read through the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament assume that all Christian readers have been baptized. Paul argues that we who died to sin can no longer live in it. And then he asks them this question in Romans chapter 6. He says, are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? He says to the Galatians, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so baptism is a response to the gospel, which begs the question, when can a person respond to the gospel? And I believe the answer to that question is whenever they reach the age of accountability. I don't know exactly what the age of accountability is for each individual person. I believe that it could be different for each individual person. I believe that each person comes to a point in their life where they understand their need for the Savior. That's why we do not believe in infant baptism in our church. And as a Baptist church, you see, an infant cannot respond to the gospel message. An infant cannot repent of their sin. An infant cannot confess Jesus as Lord over their lives. We must wait for that infant to grow into a child, and that child reaches that age of accountability. And that age of accountability, that's when they understand their need for Christ, and that's when they respond to the gospel message, and that's when they should be baptized. So this morning, let me ask you this question. Have you responded to the gospel message in baptism? Have you responded in that way in which you understand that you are a sinner? You understand that you need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, and you understand the response that's necessary is following after Jesus in baptism. Baptism is a response to the gospel. What must we do? They said. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Number two, baptism is a public profession of faith. It's a public profession of faith. Peter is basically telling his hearers, you need to publicly declare your faith in Christ. Baptism is how you go on record as being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's how you publicly profess your faith in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in order to respond to the gospel, we are commanded to turn to Jesus both inwardly as well as outwardly. And the outward declares the inward. What I always tell people whenever I'm talking to them about of baptism is baptism is to be performed in the open before witnesses. Baptism is an outward display of an inward decision. It's an outward display of an inward decision. You sitting in your bedroom can pray and trust in Jesus Christ. You sitting in this auditorium right here at the end of the service, you can pray and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And inwardly, you've responded to the gospel. But I believe that God wants us to take that and to let others know that decision. He wants us to make that public before others. Listen to what Jesus said so clearly in the Gospel of Matthew. Look at that verse. He says, so everyone, everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. You see, friends, there is no such thing as a secret disciple of Jesus. And the only way to follow Jesus is to do so openly and in plain sight where everyone can see you. And baptism is how we declare to the world that we have followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like putting on a jersey. I know some of you might be watching some football games this afternoon before our picnic starts. Aren't you glad the Redskins are playing at 1 o'clock and not 4 o'clock? I don't even care about the Redskins, but I know some of you do. And so the picnic starts at 4 o'clock, and the game will be over by 1:30, so don't worry about it, all right? That's for you, Jake. That's for Jake over there. But it's kind of like putting on a jersey. Baptism is when you put on Jesus's team jersey. You are telling everyone else that you're part of the team. Baptism is how we commit ourselves to Christ. It's how we go public with our faith. It's a public profession of Jesus. Now, let me just pause real quickly and say this. I know that there are some places in the world where it is very dangerous to claim to follow after Jesus. And some places in the world are persecuted church, and they do have to be a little bit more careful. But guess what? We're not in one of those places, all right? We have the opportunity to let everyone know the decision that is in our heart. It's a public profession. Have you made a public profession of your faith? Have you let others know the decision that you've already made or that you want to make in your heart? Baptism is a public profession of faith. Number three, baptism is by immersion. It's by immersing in water. The Bible says there in that passage of Scripture, Peter says to them, brothers, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. The Greek word baptizo simply means to dip or to plunge. To dip or to plunge. The New Testament consistently portrays baptism as immersion. Let me give you a few examples. In John chapter 3, verse 23, John the Baptist says, it says, in Anon near Salem, because there was plenty of water there. There was plenty of water, so obviously he was baptized. And let me share with you another one. This is a great passage. Look at Acts chapter 8. It should be on the screen. Look at this. This is Philip talking with the Ethiopian eunuch. And listen, Philip has just talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. He has explained the gospel to him, and the Ethiopian eunuch has responded to the gospel, the first point of my sermon. Now he's about to make a public profession of faith, but he needs water. Look what the Bible says. Look, there's water. This is the Ethiopian talking. Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And then he ordered the chariot to stop. And both Philip and the eunuch went down. Everybody say down. They went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up, everybody say up. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but he went on his way rejoicing. I don't know about you, but that sounds like they went down and they came up. That sounds like the Ethiopian was baptized by immersion. This baptism apparently required more water than they had on the chariot. It required more water than they had in a cup. It required them to get down into the water in order to perform it. Finally, the Apostle Paul describes baptism as signifying a believer's death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture, if you will, of what Jesus did for us. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Listen to this. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You see, friends, baptism is a beautiful word picture, if you will, or a demonstration of what Jesus did for us. And I think that's what Paul is saying in that passage. When Kevin and Jake were baptizing the people at the beginning, the students at the beginning of the service, and they took those students underneath the water. You see, it's a picture of Jesus being buried, being put inside that tomb. It's a picture of Jesus being buried. And then when they come up out of the water, it's a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have that without immersion. And so a church affirms and portrays a believer's union with Christ by immersing him or her in water. So again, let me ask you this question. Have you been immersed in water? Have you followed the Lord Jesus Christ's example and followed these passages of Scripture in following after the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "You know what, Pastor, I was baptized, but I wasn't completely immersed." Maybe you come from a different denomination, you come from a different background, and maybe you were sprinkled or something along those lines, and you say, "You know what, I really think God's saying to me this morning, I need to be baptized by immersion. I need to follow after Him." We're going to give you that opportunity in just a few moments. Just a few moments to make it what the Bible calls baptism by immersion, to follow after Jesus Christ's example and to follow His will. Baptism is by immersing in water. Number four, baptism unites a believer to the church. Unites a believer to the church. At the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, says, "Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Question that comes to my mind as I read something like that is, added to what? What were they added to? And I think that the answer to that is they were added to the church. The church in Jerusalem had previously numbered about 120. You can find that as you read through the first two chapters of the book of Acts. Think about that. They had a 3,000 member addition to their church in one day. You're talking about church growth. They were added to the church. Those who were baptized at Pentecost stepped out of the world and they stepped into the church of God. And so it is with everyone who is baptized today. You see, to trust in Jesus is to join the company of all who trust in Jesus. To receive Jesus is to receive His people as well. It is a call for us to acknowledge that God is our Father and also to acknowledge that we have a multitude of brothers and sisters as well. We are adopted, the Bible says, into God's family. So baptism is an opportunity for believers to commit themselves to both Christ as well as to His people. You see, in putting on the team jersey, you commit to playing for the team. And in baptism, you step out of this world and into the church, and there's no in-between zone where people are just kind of out there with Jesus, but not yet with His people. To join yourself to Jesus is to join yourself with His people. Baptism then is a commitment to follow Christ in the company of the church. And in baptism, a Christian commits to loving and serving and submitting to Christ's people. I love it whenever Pastor Jake is up here and he tells the young people to look out at the congregation. That's your family, he says. And it's so true. Whenever we put our faith in Christ, Jesus Christ, we become a part of God's faith family. Amen? What a joy. Scripture is clear that through our faith, our sins are forgiven. We're counted righteous before God. We're reconciled to God. Baptism depicts all of those realities. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. Now, before we close, let me share with you two things that baptism is not. We've covered four things that baptism is, but there's two things that baptism is not, and it's not on the screen, I know. Everybody on the back's like, where is that? Where is that? No, it's not there. You can write on the back of the sheet if you want to. Baptism is not what saves you. Baptism is not what saves you. Let's be clear about that. A person is saved through putting their faith and their trust in Jesus' death, resurrection alone. That's how a person is saved. You're saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Baptism is not what saves you, but baptism is the first act of obedience after a person is saved, and baptism is where our faith goes public. Baptism doesn't save you. We are commanded to be baptized, and I think obeying Christ's command is how we demonstrate that our faith is real, but baptism doesn't save you. We're reminded of the thief on the cross. You know, the question is, did the thief on the cross go to heaven? And I believe the answer is yes. He didn't have a chance to get baptized, but Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Did the thief on the cross go to heaven? I believe he did. Again, he didn't have a chance to get baptized. I've been at the bedside of people before who are at the point of death and had the opportunity to talk to them about their salvation. And I've had people get saved. And they were never able to go back to church. They were never able to get well enough to be baptized. I believe if they were able, if they were healthy enough, I believe they would have been baptized, but they weren't healthy enough, they weren't able to do it, but they're still saved. Baptism's not what saves us, but it should be our first act of obedience if we are able. Number two, baptism is not a mere human tradition. It's not a mere human tradition. It's not something that the church just kind of invented. It's not something that the church kind of came up with on their own. No, baptism, I believe, is clearly explained to us in Scripture. And hopefully, in the few moments that we've had together this morning, you have seen the importance of baptism and understand why we baptize. And so today, our invitation is just a little bit different. Don't pack up quite yet. Listen clearly. We want to give you an opportunity to respond. To respond to what we've talked about this morning. And so maybe this morning you have never repented of your sins and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've never confessed Him openly before others. Today is the day of salvation for you. Today, you can settle that right now this morning. Today, this morning, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can pray and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And in just a few moments, you can be baptized. You say, well, wait a minute, I didn't bring any change of clothes. We got you covered. All right, we got you covered. We went out, we bought extra change of clothing for every person that wants to get baptized. We've got you covered. We'll take you right back here behind the stage. A couple people will be back there to talk with you about your decision. We'll get you changed in your clothes. The congregation's going to be singing for a few moments, and then we're going to baptize this morning. Have you ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, let today be the day of salvation. Come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized today. The Ethiopian eunuch, after he got saved, he said, where's water? Where's the water? I want to get saved. I want to get baptized right now. Guess what? We've got water. And you can get baptized today. Second of all, maybe you've been baptized as an infant. Or as a child. Maybe you did it, but you really didn't know what you were doing. As you look back on it now, you realize that it really didn't mean anything. You realize that the reality is you just got wet. That happens. Pastor Kevin talked a moment ago about some of the students that were baptized, and they came to that realization. They just got wet the last time. Maybe today you say, you know what? I know in my heart what I need to do. I know in my heart the decision I need to make. And today, I want to make that decision. Today, I want to follow Jesus in baptism. In just a few moments, again, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, we're going to give you that opportunity to make that decision this morning. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know what, Pastor, I have been baptized. I knew what I was doing, but my membership is at a different church. And I want to unite with this church. I want this church to be my team. In just a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward and begin the membership process here at Bethel. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God's doing here. The Ethiopian eunuch said, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? What prevents you from being baptized this morning? Listen, we want to remove all the excuses. We've got water. We've got a change of clothes. Are you ready to respond to Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today. We give you thanks for baptism. We give you thanks, God, for what it means. Response to the gospel message. God, I pray for those who are here today who have never responded, who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that today, right now, would be the day of salvation.
Father, I pray for those who may have been baptized as an infant, as a child, maybe in a Catholic church, a different denomination. God, I pray that today, God, they would come to the realization, God, that your desire is for them to make it their own. To make it their own, God, to make it their own decision. And God, I pray that you draw them to make that decision right now.